Hey, I'm Ryan Reynolds.
At Mint Mobile, we like to do the opposite of what Big Wireless does. They charge you a lot, we charge you a little. So naturally, when they announced they'd be raising their prices due to inflation, we decided to deflate our prices due to not hating you. That's right. We're cutting the price of Mint Unlimited from $30 a month to just $15 a month.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month slows. Full terms at mintmobile.com.
Yes, indeed. Hello and welcome to Two in the Think.
Music.
Fucking hell. Hello and welcome to Two in the Think Tank, the show where we come up with five sketch ideas. I'm Andy.
You're... And I'm Alistair George William Tremblay Birchall, sitting in my cold garage on the ground using a new mic that is borrowed.
I'm sitting in my very warm living room using the same old mic. So let's see what has the biggest marginal impact on the effect of the quality of the product, whether it is the quality of the microphone or the warmth of the room, or whether or not we're sitting on the ground, on the cold hard ground.
Yeah,
I'm sitting on a warm soft couch.
I've changed two variables by sitting on the ground, making myself really uncomfortable. Mm. My legs and hip joints hurting. Have you ever seen, I've had an ad for a yoga instructor, or maybe I've seen a TikTok, I don't know what it is. I can't tell the difference these days. I'm older now. And it was this yoga guy, and he was talking about, you need to open up your hips. Have I told you about this?
No.
And he shows all these exercises to open up your hips. I don't think I've ever needed my hips opened up a single time in my life. I think they've been closed for business my whole life, and I don't think it's affected me in any way.
I don't even know what an open hip would look like. I wouldn't have thought that the hip was designed to open. Is this like in a splits type scenario? Is that what it looks like?
More like widening your knees out, and like sort of the mouth of the predator. You know?
Yeah, sure.
You know what I mean? Like, they kind of go, wah! Like that. Like, your knees go out and they bend and it just widens and it just opens up that whole area and shows the little stuff inside.
Is it a kind of a man spread type scenario? Is that what we're describing?
Yeah, like a man spread. Yeah, yeah. I guess that's how you would open up your hips.
Mm. I mean, is it still toxic masculinity if you're man spreading at yoga? You know, if you are actually, getting in touch with your, I don't know, whatever you'd call it, some kind of yoga thing, some sort of inner energy, you know, you're approaching nirvana, but you're only doing it, you're going to these yoga classes, consistently working on your mind and your body, but you're only doing it in order to be able to take up more space in meetings,
sure, but I
and
guess they,
on the train.
But they do give you a fair bit of space in the yoga class, I think.
Yeah. Yeah, but you then bringing that, what you've gained from that, that incredible power and strength and control, and you're bringing it to social scenarios just so you can fill the space like a dickhead.
Oh, sure. I see what you're saying.
Okay. I think there's some
I think the way that you could sell it to me, if you were an instructor trying to, you know, give me the opportunity to, I mean, look, if this was to sort of put a little icing, little cherry on top of your idea, it would be a yoga instructor or kind of like wellness instructor who is showing you how to sort of be more dominant and yucky in public like that.
Mm.
You know, allowing you to sort of reinforce sort of like a wellness, but for the patriarchy's dominance.
Yeah, exactly. Well, I think one of the things that's holding the patriarchy back from even greater dominance is probably its resistance to you know, self-improvement to spiritual improvement. And I think, you know, an enlightened patriarchy would be unstoppable.
Sure. Yeah, luckily it's resistant to the enlightenment. You know how I would, one of these instructors could get me on board? This is all they'd have to say to me. You know, man only uses 10% of his hips.
I think that pretty much is the philosophy of yoga, isn't it? You want to see what these babies could do. Let's really open her up. You know,
yeah, like I don't need, like the leg for me does not need to point anywhere, like anywhere other than forward, really.
Mm. Yeah.
Because I guess once you get sort of to 25 degrees outward and further in terms of the leg angle, you're getting into crab territory.
Yeah, that's where you want to be. I think an entire range of furniture or a line of cars that have been designed for the hyperflexible male, you know, an office chair where you do sit with your legs, you know, sort of in that horizontal splits position. So the chair is really, really wide, I guess, to accommodate the legs. And,
so like a horse?
No, it's wider than that. Like, you know, you're there with your legs fully sort of flat on...
Like you're doing the splits.
Like you're doing the splits on the ground, but you've got now a little platform that you can do... You could do them on.
Yeah, so
it's a chair.
So like roughly where your belly button would be, instead of there being a chair, right? Like, but where you would sit, let's say if you were sitting on a chair in a car, roughly about where your belly button would be, or somewhere between your belly button and your nipples, in around that height, instead of there being chair, there's just a hardwood floor. Steering wheel is still roughly the same height. Right?
Yeah,
and then you climb in through that much smaller door that is now available to you, and you just slide one leg in up the top, and then you pull yourself up, and then the steering wheel is actually a little bit more in the center.
Yeah.
So it's actually, there's only room for one, unless there's another man doing the splits behind you, holding you like it's a conga line.
But it's a split down conga line, yeah.
A split down conga line. A mobile split-down conga line, but not mobile because it's walking like a conga line would.
Yeah.
Because we're talking split-down conga lines are a static thing.
That's right. Yes, I'm the inventor of the stationary conga.
the conga queue. I mean, it's really just a line. There's nothing in the conga line that suggests that
it
should
be moving.
Says it
has to move, yeah. You're exactly right.
It's not
right.
The conga convoy.
No. You know, it's like... I was about to go into a superconductor reference, but I won't.
Go into it. Do it, Andy. It's not an episode of Two in the Think Tank unless there's a superconductor reference.
Well, I'm just suggesting, thinking that it would be good if we could... it's actually possible to create a totally stationary conga line by cooling it down far enough that it could be, or is a conga line by definition in motion, like a light? It's, I guess it's more like a beam of light, a photon. You know, does a conga line exist if it's not moving?
Yeah,
see what I'm saying?
Yeah, I see what you're saying. Yeah. Feels like there's got to be a source at the back of the conga line that's adding people, pushing it forward.
By definition. You could create the right circumstances to have a stationary conga line.
Yeah, but I mean, I think...
Might
I think
be a new state of new state of matter.
Yeah, congolinium. No, that's more of that's its own element.
Bose-Einstein congensate.
Kongen line.
Yeah, yeah.
Bose-Einstein
line. Forget it, Alistair. Forget it. We're not doing this. We're not doing this.
Okay, wait. Bose-Einstein line. Conga state.
That's right. Yes. Now, Alistair, yeah. Is there a sketch in our yoga for blokes?
Yeah, that's written down.
Yeah,
that's
great.
Written
down. Okay, that's all I needed to confirm there.
I think there's also the idea of the stationary conga line. I think is in there.
That's in the same idea. It's in the same idea.
No, that's the stationary conga line is its own idea.
Yeah, great.
It's somebody arguing that the conga line was always meant to be a line, not a moving thing.
Mm.
But that's how cue. I mean, I think that cueing should probably work like that.
But you should have to dance. Because I think
even in times of COVID, no, it's stationary.
Mm.
What is conga? Is that a drum?
Congas are a drum. Yeah. I think whatever the
I've
one
heard
that I
that
think is
a drum.
The one that I think is a bongo drum is actually the conga drum, and the one that I think is a conga drum is the bongo drum. But I've told myself that so many times, I've now really have lost any grip on which one is which.
Could you be thinking of the djembe?
I never would. No.
No. Okay.
No, you wouldn't find me doing that. I mean, I don't know what a djembe is, so it's very possible I am thinking of a djembe. I take that back. Alistair, can I change the subject? This is going to be nothing.
Oh, away from African drums that we don't know anything about?
What? You know what's really fucking cool? When they do the countdown for something and they do it in that format of T minus something or other, T minus 30 seconds and counting. When they say T minus like that,
yeah,
that's really cool.
Is the T for takeoff?
I don't know. Probably, yeah. Knowing these guys, it probably stands for like terminal moment or something like that.
Yeah, and are they measuring it in negative time? Like, is it?
Yeah.
Does it have a minus at the?
Yeah,
and
that's
then
what
the
they're
time.
Doing.
And so they're starting with negative time, and then the actual clock on the project, whatever it is that is starting, starts
at T zero.
At T zero.
Yeah. Yeah.
Right.
It's really cool.
Now, other than aerospace, what other things are there that use this?
I'm probably pretentious art projects, I guess. You know, festivals and that kind of thing.
Yeah. Okay.
I do it for orgasms.
Do you?
Yeah.
You can count it in?
Yeah. Sometimes starting days in advance.
Really? I do it, but it's a very short countdown. I go, oh! Like that, like, and then I go, T minus two! One!
And then really I start counting up from that point. Because that's when the mission truly begins. After
but then I change from tea to sheep after that.
Sheep, yeah, good.
Yeah.
Good, because it's sleepy time. Alistair.
Oh, no. Yeah.
I have somehow, while we've been talking, scratched myself, and I am bleeding quite badly from my arm. So I'm going to go and get a tissue. But you keep talking. Sorry, I've left you with nothing to discuss.
It's interesting. No, I mean,
blood is running down my arm. So
well,
I'll be back.
We have our first relatively serious podcasting injury here. But you know, I guess while we're here, I guess I'll keep talking about sketch ideas. I guess we could start by discussing science. I think that's a kind of a trope of this podcast.
I'm back, Alistair.
Something to do with biology. I was still deciding topic, Andy.
Deciding what I was going to talk about.
Yeah.
I've lost a lot of blood. And
really?
No, not really. I'm fine.
Do you But like, yeah. What kind of blood were we discussing?
I must have scratched some little thing off my arm, and just and then I just noticed that there was just blood everywhere. It's tiny. It's the tiniest hole. Anyway,
we got rich red blood flowing down, coursing down, you know, arterial deep, that deep arterial blood, I think, probably.
Hey, you know how, like, blood, they say, like, blood is purple or blue on the inside of your body? But then it's like when it comes to oxygen. Firstly, A, is that real? And B, what other things that are in your body that are a different color?
that we'll never see. In their natural state. Yeah.
Yeah.
Bones. Bones.
Bones are brown?
They're green.
I think I prefer brown bones. You know when you get like those Neanderthal bones or whatever, and then they like they've aged or whatever, they're just made of rock now or something like that. I think I prefer them kind of a golden brown.
Mm, sure.
Maybe a roasted bone would be better.
Yeah, those deep walnut bone tones.
Bone tones.
I think, you know, if true beauty is under the skin, then why aren't we trying to tan our bones? Why are there no services or products, creams that I can apply that will give me that beautiful bronzed beach bones that is going to be so sexy?
What is that saying? That the true beauty is...
I don't know. But, you know, it's under the skin or something like that, you know? It's
under the skin.
I don't know if anyone actually says that, but it sounds like something people would say, right?
No, true beauty is on the inside.
Yeah, that's probably a better way of putting it.
Yeah, under the skin.
Is under just, but only it's, just under. It's just, only just under. And if I scratch just, away...
Yeah, then you'll be more beautiful.
I find grazed women very attractive.
Grazed,
you know?
Or
you have a little graze.
Yeah, like you know, like when somebody falls off their bike onto some gravel and they slide for a bit.
Yeah, there will absolutely be fetish groups for that.
No, there's not. There can't be.
Alistair, there will be. There will be.
What's that movie where somebody's face is kind of taken off and then they touch their face and there's the red? Oh, it's on Face Off.
What's that movie where someone's face is kind of taken off? That ended the only way it could, Alistair. The best possible way. And I'm really proud of you.
Let's say we were making another version of Face Off.
Mm, leg off.
We were like, yeah, well, that's it. This is what I'm thinking. Like, right? It's got to be something different because they're like, we can't use the Face Off thing again.
Yeah.
It's basically, we'll just be making the same movie.
Yeah.
So how can we get more from this franchise by taking something else off or changing something?
Mm.
You know, I guess because you wouldn't go to prosthetics because that's just a face thing again.
Yeah. Yeah.
Digital identity, that feels too easy to just hide behind an avatar.
Shirt off. It's a movie.
Is this about a volleyball game?
No, it's a movie where
one is playing with shirts, the other one's playing skins, right? But the guy who's playing skins needs to infiltrate the shirt team.
Yeah, right. So he gets plastic surgery to make his skin look like a shirt.
Yeah, but he gets the other guy knocked out. Like, he gets the other guy caught by the police and then brought into a lab, and they knock them both out, and they change the shirt from that guy onto the other guy.
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's exactly what I was... sort of going to go to,
but it was going to be
swapping two guys' shirts. I think no, this is a funny scene, Alistair. This is a funny scene where they do for some reason have to knock these two guys out in hospital beds in order to switch their clothes. That's funny.
Yeah.
I mean, his pants off might be funnier, right, than shirt off.
Yeah, but it's almost too so funny. Obviously funnier that the shirt. No, but I think shirt is funnier.
Yeah,
because I think that changing the pants, people will think that you think it's funny that you're just taking someone's pants off. But that's not the joke we're trying to make.
No, you're right.
Right, the joke we're trying to make is that somebody is in surgery in an operating theater so that their shirt can be taken off and put on another person who's been knocked out in an operating theater.
It is more of a classic surgeon type appearance or, you know, composition that the unbuttoning of the shirt, you know, with the surgeon's gloves and this, you know, getting the sweat dabbed from your brow is such a beautiful parallel to the sort of the open heart surgery kind of
thing. I was picturing a t-shirt.
T-shirt. Okay.
Yeah. And then that bit where you're going over the face with the little loop, you know, you could do that last because you pull the rest of the shirt up over them and you go, careful, 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 as it's kind of like pulling their skin up a little bit.
Yeah.
I mean, look, this is not...
No, it's really... I'm enjoying it a lot. I'm getting a lot out of it. I mean, do we need anything more, right? Why is this happening? I mean, this could go... A scene like this could go, I imagine, and I've only seen a little bit of this show. But remember when Paul Scheer had that show that was like... NYPD SUV SUVU something.
And it was I remember that show.
Cop show.
Yeah, I never saw it. I saw Children's Hospital, which wasn't like, I think Paul Scheer might have been involved in, or
yeah, that was Rob Corddry, right? I don't know.
Rob Corddry, yeah.
But it feels maybe Paul Scheer would have been in that. He would have appeared.
Yeah, it was, you know, after Human Traffic, those guys were doing, so it was, they were called Human Traffic, the Aziz Ansari sketch group.
Human
with Paul
Giant.
Scheer.
Human Traffic Human Giant. Was, I believe, a movie, fucking hell, about drug dealers?
Yeah.
Human Traffic?
Yeah. I reckon if it's about drug dealers, then it's probably about also human trafficking. Is that
possible? No, I think that's what you would have thought. But or maybe
human
I'm thinking
traffic
of traffic
sounds like that's
this is a nightmare.
Traffic sounds like that not like that static conga line.
that's a human traffic jam.
Yeah, human traffic jam. Yeah, sorry baby, I'm stuck in human traffic.
This is like that. We did a sketch that was like this, Alistair. If you could even call it a sketch in one of our shows, maybe the one with Pete, Pants, where it was just
pants,
two
pants.
Guys.
Would have been funnier if it was shirt.
Now we know. See, we're older. Yeah. We're wiser. We've learned a thing or two about the world and how sometimes you got to avoid something that will definitely make everybody laugh. In order to achieve something that might make some people nod with appreciation.
You know what I just had a thought of, right? Sorry that this is going to take us off the rails before you tell me about this other thing. In the last couple of days, I had to listen to an old recording of a stand-up show. And I was like, oh, I'd be doing this a lot differently now if it was me writing these jokes. You know, just a lot of the jokes kind of don't go very far and things like that, right? And I just feel like I would put, you know, if I put in the time, I would put in much more effort, I think, into making the things better. If I was to put in more time, I would put in more effort. But,
yeah, great.
You know? And then it made me, and so I was like, oh, this is kind of not as good maybe as I thought it might have been at the time. Anyway, and then it reminded me of after a show I did in the UK at their you know, one of their good venues there that they have. What's that? What's that suburb of? That's both a suburb of London and a suburb of New York City.
Soho? Is that Soho?
Yeah, at the Soho Theater. I did a show after there, and one went really good and one went not so good. Or maybe one went okay and the other one went not so good. Anyway, after the one that went not so good, somebody tweeted me and said, that was not a good show. And I had the thought just then to tweeting them sort of maybe 6 years later going, you know what, I think you might have been right.
Oh, Alistair, that's brutal, though. That's real fucking brutal.
Yeah, I mean...
Was that... It was just you doing one of your shows? Like a full hour of Alistair?
Yeah, the one I was bringing to Edinburgh. So it was a really good warm-up gig for me.
Mm.
You know, really, really built up my confidence.
And some hype as well. People are tweeting about it.
Well, people are tweeting. I don't normally get that after shows, so that's really good.
What show was that? Just out of interest, was that the?
Oh, it was kind of a compilation. No, it would have been Success Arms, maybe.
Oh, yep.
I assume. What was the thing you were going to say about the sketch in Pants?
Oh, just that it was a thing where we were perpetually guessing the wrong film. Two people standing there. Trying to describe films and getting...
I think it was we were trying to guess the actor.
Right. Yeah.
And then at the end of it was something about it was Dame Judi Dench, and then we... Judi Dench the whole... No, then we call the audience a fucking idiot.
No, that was a totally different sketch. That was a parent-teacher interview sketch where... Where at the end we revealed the parent was Dame Judi Dench the entire time, and we called the audience stupid cunts for not guessing it. And then we got a review that said, look, this might be the kind of show that you like if you enjoy being called a stupid cunt.
No, I think it was just a fucking idiot, if you'd like. But, and I was like, well... I mean, us calling them that felt like that was a joke, but maybe that wasn't clear.
Again, at the time, I mean, God, I've been, you know, all this time in lockdown has given me a lot of time to reflect on old shows that I did and come to the conclusion that they contained no comedy whatsoever. So,
hey, I think doing a show, doing a sketch that has nothing to do with Dame Judi Dench, and then at the end saying, thank you for your time, Dame Judi Dench, and then breaking character and then going, you fucking idiots, you didn't even realize it was Dame Judi Dench, did you? You're so stupid. When there was no clue, I think that's funny.
That was the one where we got the review from the lady who said that she wanted to slap us in the face.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh. Yeah. We've lost our edge. We used to really be quite controversial.
Yeah.
Break a lot of boundaries. Too scared now, these days. Can't say anything anymore.
What made you think of that? Or is there a sketch in that thing?
No, it was just us. It's just us confusing things. But here's how about this, Alistair? how about this as a sketch? Now this might not go down well. So let's see if I can express this in a way that's acceptable. But you know that movie, A Quiet Place, right?
Yeah.
Which is where there are monsters that attack people for making a noise. They sense noise, right? Right.
It's what like about... that, but it's a specific chewing noise.
No, well, close.
And the monster is called Andy.
It's people chewing close to a microphone or even just close to me when I'm not personally chewing something. No, anyway, this is, it's a movie, it's like A Quiet Place, but it's called You Can't Say Anything Anymore, right? And it's monsters, right? But what they do is they attack you if you make a sort of a generalization. It's a boomer version of A Quiet Place.
Quiet Place, but it's, yeah, and but they're kind of, zombies that
or
attack you.
Alien monsters or whatever. If you say anything that's not sufficiently woke, I'm saying that in inverted commas. You can't see them, but I'm doing inverted commas around the woke.
Sure.
And you know, I think they'd love this. They'd love this.
Yeah, but then also it would be great because then we'll be like you know, all the actual people who are sort of attempting to, you know, who are still trying to make an effort, who exist in this world, who have always been trying to at least make a small effort to, you know, not hurt people's feelings unnecessarily.
Sure.
They'll be like, you see, you could say things anymore until now. See, we weren't so bad.
And I guess it really is politically correct. It's political correctness gone mad.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Psychotic. It's taken form. Political correctness has assumed a physical form as some sort of vengeful demon or sort of horde of swarm of sort of insects maybe or some insectoid beasts and that's what's happening.
I think now what is the message of this film?
It's a really good question.
Because in a way, there's something for both sides,
and that's what I like about it. Right? You can interpret it as a satire, and so we'll sell tickets to those people, or you can interpret it very literally as
I think you're right. I think the boomers in it would accuse the left of being in some way, you know, or complicit with these people or these monsters.
Yeah.
You created this, right? But then I think what I like, I can't remember what I like, but I liked something in it.
That's great. I like the title.
This is what I like. I think I like that moment. It'll be a moment in the movie a few times, you know, when you meet a new character and they're sort of, you know, 55 and maybe leaving the hairdressers and they've got fresh new blonde streaks, you know, in their hair, and you know, and you're like, oh, this woman's about to get taken by the monsters. And maybe they're on the phone.
Yeah.
And they're going, oh, yeah. Couldn't understand anything they were saying in there. Pretty sure they were talking about me.
Yeah.
You know? Right. And then you see, like, you know, some just like some eyes, you know, peek out of a, you know, like a sewer or something like that.
Yeah, great.
You know, or a storm drain pipe like that. And then disappear. And then you kind of can hear the nails clickety-clacking
skittering
in the echoey tunnels. Yeah.
Screeching, yeah.
As this lady walks down the sidewalk, you know. And you know, it's just daring her to cross the line.
I think also the scene where, like, you know, you've got a ragtag band of survivors, right? And you're trying to escape with your parents, and you're trying to help them survive, and you're just trying to get them to instead of it just being a challenge to not make any noise, it's just a challenge to just not unnecessarily point out somebody's race, but they can't do it. It inevitably ends up happening.
That's the thing, is that if you were just, you know, like, you know, you're traveling together through a campsite or whatever, and you're looking around and things like that, and you're with your parents or whatever, but it's not until you come across another group who are doing the same thing with their parents, and they're from a slightly different culture. And the kids in the family are just trying to like, come this way, Mom. Come this way, Dad. Quick. Try to get them away from each other. And the parents just can't help it. Oh, where are you from? You know, it starts in the...
No, but where are you really from?
No, where are you really from? No. Like that.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You know, it's really fun. I think there's also the fact that in this, the, you know, like, it's kind of like a, I'm just about to say it's, you know, because I got this sentence in my head, pandemic of the unvaccinated, but it's like, it kind of is like an alien invasion that would only affect boomers.
Yeah.
Not necessarily true. That's not, but you know, but in the movie you could make it that, so that like, actually all the other kids are just staying at home. Their kids are staying at home. And then these group of boomers are just trying to escape together and huddled together, you know, going, oh, they're after us. What have we haven't done anything wrong.
That is really interesting. Are there any horror movies in which it's only a specific sort of sector of society that are at risk? I mean, I feel like maybe are the Nightmare on Elm Street, I haven't seen them, but are they like that, but where it's only kids who are at risk from this nightmare scenario?
Perhaps. I haven't actually seen it.
Yeah.
But I think it's possible, yeah.
But, yeah, you know, I find it really interesting, the idea that it's happening alongside everyone else in society, more or less going about their lives, you know, just like it is sort of with COVID, where young people aren't at as much risk of dying. Mm. Yeah.
Yeah.
I mean, just a movie in which the zombies only attack old people. It's kind of funny.
Yeah.
We come up with a lot of zombie movie ideas on this show.
Do we?
And it is a show. Oh, look, maybe not. We've come up with rich zombies, right?
Which zombies?
Rich zombies.
Yeah, okay.
And there was another zombie idea that was kind of along the same lines. They're zombies. Yeah, I can't remember, but like, you know, yeah. But the rich zombies one was where they're like, they're zombies, but they're still wealthy, and instead of hunting people down to eat them, they use their disposable wealth to sort of pay just normal people to bring people to them to eat.
Mm.
Sort of a bit more it's like really a good. Sort of, I guess, like a sex predator kind of behavior, a bit like but it is a bit of an Epstein kind of a thing, right?
Well, yeah.
A zombie, I mean, who would have an enabler.
Jelaine.
Yeah.
Yeah, like, you know, I mean, Jelaine's not busy.
Yeah.
So.
That's how you pronounce that name, Jelaine?
I think so, yeah.
Yeah, right. Well, I've been getting that wrong. Sorry, Jelaine.
what have you been saying, Ghislaine?
In my mind, I probably have never actually had to say it out loud, but I think it would have been like Jizzalane or something like that.
Jizzalane, yeah.
Yeah.
Jizza.
Jizza.
Jizza. Oh, I went to high school with a guy called Jizza.
Yeah?
Yeah. He's... Yeah. Oh, I wonder how he is. If you're listening... Jez, hope you're good. I was like, I remember something quite horrible he said to me, but I was like, no, I can't say that on the air. It's actually appropriate.
Well, you have to tell me afterwards.
Yeah. Okay.
Well, you can tell me on a bonus episode on a Patreon. If you subscribe to the Patreon, you'll be able to hear
that's not true. I'm not going to say it there either.
Alistair, I'm using this as a marketing tool.
It's very good. But I think he might have also introduced me to the term "get a dog up ya."
Oh, the famous Australianism that I probably associate with you more than anybody.
Yeah. Well, let's hope that doesn't die, because a lot of people have been associating Norm MacDonald with me, and that died. So,
do a lot of people associate Norm MacDonald with you?
Yeah, a couple of people, texted me or told me I thought of you straight away.
I thought of you straight away. You introduced me to Norm MacDonald. We bonded over that, maybe. Don't know about that.
I don't know if we've ever bonded, you and I, Andy.
Yeah, you're right. I'm really sorry.
We just somehow luckily get along without any bonding.
Without any bonding whatsoever.
Ah, you know the word bonding agent. Imagine if that bonding agent was a man.
Okay. Yes. Good.
Or a woman.
Yeah. Who has to grab two things and hold them together.
But it's there around friends who have, it gets called in maybe by some friends' wives and, maybe for their birthday, I got you a bonding agent. And the guy's a builder. He's like, oh, yeah, cool. Epoxy resin? And she goes, no, this is different. It's for you and Craig, like that. And then the bonding agent is just a person, looks like an agent. Right? Wearing a suit or something like that, maybe sunglasses. And then when the guys hug and they do that kind of real heavy slap on the back, the bonding agent comes in and just stops the hand from slapping and just holds it on the back.
Yeah,
and then
nice.
Holds on back both the backs and just gives them a moment with each other, just their warm bodies against each other. To just have a moment just to be together. It doesn't have to be violent. It can just allow them to feel.
This is really nice. Yeah.
Yeah.
And it's not weird because it's not you that's holding your hand there. It's the bonding agent. So it's fine.
But then
can I tell you something I think would be really cute? It's a new product, right? So what we've done is we've perfected genetic engineering to the point where we are able to make tiny humans, right, in large quantities. Yep. You know, they're smaller than a centimeter, little less than a centimeter tall, right? And you can get like a tube. They're sort of the size of an ant, right? You can get a tube full of these guys, right? These little guys. And you squeeze them out onto something, and they sort of work together as a team to hold things together for you. It is like a kind of glue, but it's little guys.
Like, I guess you could get them like in a box of paper clips or something.
Yeah. But you like use them by the handful, and you can sort of. And the great thing is, you can kind of communicate with them, right? Mm. They're not very smart, but they can sort of understand you, right? So you tell them what you want to stick together, and they scurry around, clamber over each other, and sort of work together and grab the things and sort of hold them, as a sort of mass.
Yeah, they'd be a great alternative to nanobots.
Mm-hmm. Yeah,
you know,
little guys.
Just little guys. Yeah, just like instead of a bunch of nanobots that connect together and create big structures.
Yeah,
just. You know, like human pyramids that kind of act as stairs for you.
Yeah.
You could have your whole house made out of them.
Yeah. They're like soldier ants that sort of cling together.
You can build your whole house out of it, but then maybe one day they unionize. They start asking for better conditions.
But I think they're too small to... They're too stupid.
But they start attacking you.
I mean, that would be bad.
Yeah, I suppose they could, like, some of them could just start running into your lungs.
Yeah, that'd suck. It really suck.
Yeah, but I think that that's a, like, there's a kind of, you know, a be careful with you, what you wish for kind
oh,
of.
Oh, I mean, we all wish for little guys.
Wish for endless little guys.
I wish my house could just be all little guys.
Made out of tiny men.
Mm.
And women. Yeah.
Well, you're right. I mean, it would have started out as a thing where you could have a few of them and they would be quite useful. But then, like anything that we find to be quite useful and quite convenient, we start producing more and more of them, right, for cheaper and cheaper. And, yeah, it does get to the point where rather than, you know, building a house, you just get a, you know, a trailer load of little guys just dumped on your block and they all sort of, you sort of shout at them, boss them around until they sort of drag themselves together into this structure and you live in there.
Because you could also go, make a door here, like that, and they would just, the door would open up.
Yeah.
And also that because you could, this is why it would be so easy to make them, because it would be made at an exponential rate because it's breeding, right?
Oh, yeah, they breed.
You could just get them
maybe,
to breed.
Maybe they
maybe they're born
like
pregnant.
Bacteria. Yeah. And they eat, I guess, just like dust and stuff out of the air and dirt and
exactly.
stuff.
Yeah, exactly. They just eat sort of air. What's that air plankton there that we saw about the other day?
Oh, yeah. Don't remember. But there are little things that live in the air. And they, but they just, their vocabulary is pretty limited. They're just like, oh, yep. Yeah, oh, yep.
Hi, yep. Oh, yep. Sorry.
Yeah.
Yeah. I reckon that would be a nice, like, I'd like my bed to have a bed sheet made out of them. I think it'd be nice. And
oh, yeah. Because they could link arms and they could make a fabric form, sort of a.
I think that would be nice, you know? And you could, for that, you could make them, you know, like, not wear clothes so that you could have the, like, the, that nice body warmth.
Oh, that would be really nice. Yeah.
Yeah. And it'd be nice for them. Well, except for the ones who are right on the outside.
Yeah, except for the ones you're on top of, on the fitted sheet.
Yeah. Well, you know, but, you know, they're quite small. So there'd be plenty of air in between them and stuff like that for.
Yeah, and I imagine they're strong.
Yeah, they're like ants.
They're like ants.
Like ants. But, I mean, when you're very small, it's easier to be able to lift up a larger percentage of your own body weight.
I mean, a lot of them would die as well. They would be dying all the time. And you'd have that would to vacuum them up and stuff.
I mean, that would be a shame, yeah.
Maybe the other ones eat them. When they die, all the ones around them tear them apart and eat them.
Exactly. If they throw them up in the, like, throw their bits up in the air so that others who are part of the wall can eat them.
I'm picturing them wearing clothes, by the way.
Yeah, yeah, me too, except for when they're my blanket.
Okay.
Yeah. Andy, we have three words from a listener. But these,
I love that about that.
These words today are words that we basically did recently.
Okay.
But this is on purpose because I got an email saying that we did it wrong.
Oh.
And so I want you to get it right this time.
Okay. Perspicacity.
So they're from Timothy. Timothy, yep. I just want to say sorry.
Hi, Timothy, and I'm really sorry. Is the first word perspicacity?
No. It's five.
Okay. Is it sketch ideas? Five sketch ideas?
That's what the other one was.
But we did it wrong.
The second word I got slightly wrong.
So it's not sketch?
No. Not quite.
Skit? Is it five skit ideas?
Incorrect. It's five sketchy.
Oh, very good. Very good. What is sketchy is such a great word. sketchy.
It feels very Australian, doesn't it?
It does, yeah.
I assume that it is an Australianism for something to be sketchy. It's like...
It's a bit dodgy. You know, It's a bit
dodgy.
It's like there's probably a bit of light criminal behavior going on.
Yeah, like right. if you were in a park and you were walking around at night and you saw a drug deal happening really close by, you'd be like, oh, geez, this is looking pretty sketchy.
Yeah, but, you know, a guy can be a bit sketchy. A place can be a bit sketchy. It's a little bit dangerous. Not too scary.
Yeah, there's
potential, you know, for things to go wrong.
There's potential for unpredictability.
Mm, yes.
That, you know, maybe violence, maybe criminal activity, maybe just something bad might happen. Feels sketchy.
Yeah.
So five sketchy ideas.
A thing that you would normally try and avoid. Sketchiness.
But also sometimes, you know, it gives a place character.
Yeah, well, sometimes you need to interact with the sketchy world, the sketchy economy that
sketch that economy
surrounds us to a certain extent.
Of course.
Yeah, I've never bought drugs.
No, I'm not sure if I have either. Oh. No, I have.
You must have, Alistair.
No, but during the times when I would I might have partaken, I was very poor and at uni, and so, I didn't frequently buy it directly from a source. Right. I was always like handing my friends money after they'd bought it.
Yeah, yeah.
So it felt like it was more paying someone back. And then there were some times where I just couldn't even afford to pay someone back. But they knew that going in.
Yeah, right. And you paid them with, you know.
Yeah. That's what you tell yourself anyway. That my friendship is somehow worth this real money that they're paying.
Exactly.
So, sketchy ideas. Well.
Some sketchy ideas include
I guess it could be like a you know, an advertising firm where suddenly everybody on staff has become addicted to ice.
Mm.
Right? And yeah. Suddenly their ideas start getting this their campaigns start getting this edge. But they're really good at selling them at the pitch because the ice is really motivating them, so they're super enthusiastic.
Yeah.
But the ideas seem to be getting more and bigger and more elaborate. And, I don't have an exact example.
All right. I thought for some reason we get an accounting... Yep, you go.
No, we get a real barracuda and release it in the mall.
Yeah. Yeah, that's cool. I like it. A lot of Bob Dylan's good music was recorded in a period of time, produced in a period of time, when he was really changing things, when he was on a lot of amphetamines. And I'd like to see this from an advertising firm. That's a real phenomenon. Like, are they actually filming it in any way, or is it just a thing that happens?
Well, you
know, like a stunt.
I mean, once it makes the news, then now you've got eyeballs.
Yeah. Right?
And so now you can come out and say, it was our firm. We were advertising the local barbecue place.
Oh, yeah. Lozenges.
Yeah.
No, that's the name of the barbecue place. It's called Lozenges.
Well, yeah, that's right. And then it could say, well, or it could be a way of saying, well, some people came in and took, you know, we had some, like a large fish wrangler come in and evacuate the not evacuate the fish. give it an enema in the mall there, although that would attract even more attention. But then took it, and unfortunately, it didn't survive. But luckily, the meat from the fish was still able to be barbecued at, what was the name of the place?
Lozenges.
At Lozenges Barbecue Emporium.
Mm.
You see? And so there.
Just a bit of native advertising.
You've got some very native advertising in there. And it's all thanks to methamphetamines.
Mm. Yeah, it's really exciting. Methamphetamines is the name of the advertising company.
Because this is what they can undercut any competition, and they promise that they'll give you 5 ideas for the price of 1 and get that campaign going.
It's really good.
You see, compared to other advertising firms, because they can come up with so many ideas due to the methamphetamine.
I also had an idea, Alistair, for a website called Sketchy, right? Mm. And it's like Etsy, but it's sketchy, right? So it sort of combines a little bit of a Silk Road. You can go there and buy drugs, right? But it's very cutesy, okay? And everything's, all the drugs are displayed on a nice like doily or something like that.
Yeah.
And there's a little story about how they made the drugs, who made the drugs. And
oh, that's nice.
Yeah, it's sort of cottage industry. And it allows, I guess, what it allows is a drug producer to sell directly to a drug consumer, cutting out the middleman and that sort of thing, and ensuring that a lot of the profits go directly to the hardworking drug maker.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, from tub to plate.
Yeah.
From the tub to plate movement, or the toilet bowl to plate movement.
From toilet bowl to mirror.
Toilet bowl to mirror movement. So what's that? What's it called? Sketchy?
Sketchy. Yeah.
Sketch.
It rolls off the tongue. It's as easy to say as it is to is it as it isn't to track the exact. I mean, yeah. The thing is that it does. I guess probably makes it a lot easier for the police to track the producers of the drugs, but there's so many now, small home producers, that it's harder.
They don't have to tell you where they live exactly.
That's true. That's true. You're right.
They don't have to give out their information.
But you do want to know the story as well of the person behind the drugs.
I know I do.
Yeah.
Andy, I think we have our sketch ideas for the day.
We got there. We got there together.
We have.
Everybody. We bonded for the first time.
We have yoga for empowering the patriarchy. Allows you to open up your hips so you can man spread wider, for example. Then there's, of course, the stationary conga line. The conga line was never meant to move.
I think of this as going the other way, and we know that conga lines move, but we're trying to prove that it's, find out whether it's possible to have a stationary conga line.
I love that. I love that it's, whoever makes it first defines it. Right now, it's just a probability cloud of sketches. Shirt off, face off, but shirts swap during surgery. Yeah. It's a beach volleyball team swap.
Did you write
skins
down that level of detail? Did you write down beach volleyball?
I didn't want to forget it,
Yeah, no, you can't leave that. On the cutting
then it's the, you can't say anything anymore, horror film beasts that attack you when you say the wrong things, like that,
Something that's not politically correct.
That's right. Bonding agent, man, helps you to become closer to friends. I know that's really dumb. There's a lot of really dumb ones in the last bit here. Little guys as as a bonding agent. It's not the bonding agent from the previous thing. These are actually, they start out as just a thing for holding paper together. But then eventually they become just a, you know, a, an all-purpose material for anything, for all kinds of building. Then we have the sketchy ideas meth ad agency, which again, I'm sure you're surprised I even wrote down. And the then we got Sketchy, which is toilet bowl. It's part of the toilet bowl to mirror drug movement.
Now, I think that your methamphetamine advertising agency, I mean, while, you know, in some ways probably being just too close to reality, I think that has potential to be a really funny sketch. You know.
Well, here's hoping. Here's hoping.
In the hands of the right actors, that'd be hilarious.
Yeah.
Doesn't matter so much the writing.
No. Let's just put it in the hands of an actor. Maybe don't even use actors. Use real meth addicts.
Exactly.
Do you think that would be okay?
Yeah. Yeah. Do you think it'd be quicker to teach meth addicts advertising or get advertising executives addicted to methamphetamines?
That feels like a really good reality TV show.
Yeah. Thank you so much for listening to Two in the Think Tank.
The sketch show.
We like that. We like that.
We really like
that.
We appreciate it so much. Thank you for coming. We had to cancel Teleport for the Fringe Festival because that is not happening. We're not going to be able to even record it before the Fringe. We're on Twitter. You can find me at AlistairTB. You can find Andy at Stupid Old Andy. You can find us both at Two in Tank. I'm also on Instagram at A Trombley Birchall. We're also at Two in Tank there. We haven't posted a lot there for ages. And you can support us on Patreon if you like.
That's right.
My goodness. But also, I just really, most of all, we hope that you just live a nice life and do things that you enjoy.
That's right. And I hope you find some time for yourself, but also I hope you find some time for others.
That's right. And amongst that, a time where you're not even worrying about what you're doing.
Yep.
True. Just switch it off.
True emptiness, true nothingness.
Yeah.
And
so
we,
I guess we'll wrap this up now. We
love you.
You. Thank you.
We do.
Tired of ads intruding into your favorite comedy podcasts? Good news. Ad-free listening is available on Amazon Music for all the music plus top podcasts included with your Prime membership. Dive into a world of laughs by downloading the Amazon Music app for free. Or go to amazon.com/comedyadfree. That's amazon.com/comedyadfree to catch up on the latest episodes without the ads.